Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
And say, you know what's more important to this team's success? That is why I'm not sold that they're going to do anything big with the pitcher.
Well, again, we need somebody who can eat some innings. I still think, regardless, you're hoping that Hurston Waldrop, who's continuing, and Schwellenbach, because once we took the body shots at Northport, that all of a sudden half your staff is projected to, it looked pretty good on paper for a minute. I still think you try to find it at least one innings eater, but yeah, you've got to shore up the lineup. You want to talk about the lineup real quick?
Yes, please.
All right. Not exactly a murderer's row when you go 7, 8, 9. Riley is not hitting. We know that. But Riley batting seventh, Jim Jarvis at short, and Brewer Hicklin.
Who?
Get Brewer Hicklin. A 30-year minor leaguers bounced back and forth from the show, went to UAB. He's going to be starting in right field tonight. So yeah, you need some spark. Drake's going to lead off. Ozzie, Matt, Michael Money Harris, Dubon, Dominic Smith, and then you get to like a 7, 8, 9 that's not robust.
Okay. And look, I don't want to, you know, point the finger, but if you're telling me the focus is going to be on offense, does this mean they don't believe that Austin Riley's going to get back to form?
It could in part, or that, you know, Hassan Kim with his finger rehab. I was arguing with some guy today, because it was a finger. He didn't agree. You really think it was his finger? No, they said, look, you got to go down and get your ish together, okay? I can't think for you, some Braves fans. But either way, Hassan Kim is up in Gwinnett with Acuna, and Grant McCauley, who'll join us, by the way, next hour, reporting that Walt Weiss says they've got a schedule mapped out for Ronald's return, Carl. He says, when asked whether or not that means he'll return this homestand, Walt said he couldn't rule it out or wouldn't rule it out. That said, it doesn't sound imminent and could happen on the first road trip. So again, we said, and we heard last week, they were going to probably slow roll Ronald's return.
Yeah.
So probably not likely for this homestand.
Yeah, it makes sense. They're in Gwinnett, right? They've just been brought up
him
to the Stripers.
And Kim. Now, all again, right. If Kim and Riley start hitting, that's a big problem to solve. But you need, all right, you got 17 days to prove you guys can get your act together. Because, look, they're not going to trade Riley. No one would have him at this stage. You got to get him going.
Yeah, you do. All right, more on the Braves coming up with Grant McCauley. It's just interesting. Basically, this is a wait-and-see approach. It's not that they don't have guys they're interested in, guys. Okay, that's not how this works. In my years of covering baseball, they've already targeted guys. They know what the cost is going to be. But before we go all in, I am going to see if an A.J. Smith-Shawver or a Spencer Schwellenbach or any of these guys can come back and add to this rotation before I go spend another X amount of dollars on a pitcher right. For half a season. And again, to Mike's point, they're not going to go get somebody who they don't have control over with the salary as far as the contractual years. So I just find that interesting, because that's what I was laying out yesterday, and guys were calling me idiots.
Well, I wasn't calling you an idiot.
No, not you. The listeners.
I just still think you can't trust. You can't bet on what you're going to get from A.J. Smith-Shawver. You can't bet on what you're going to get eventually from Schwellenbach. You can't even remotely count on – look, Spencer Strider, okay. Guys, you said it yourself. No, you don't even think Strider's going to pitch this year.
He's done, but he does a little bit. Shwelly comes back and does a little bit. You get Perez back, Martin Perez has been good for you. Like, that's the mindset is – we're not counting on just one guy. If they all chip in, how many innings are we eating up the rest of the season? If this all was to work out, and that's the big question.
Right. So we'll see. I understand what you're saying. I still think why not have insurance? Because let's go back and look at it. Not enough pitching in 23. Right? 24, we barely got to the line. And again, it was a hard enough effort from Snicker and company just to make the playoffs. Last year, the injuries overwhelmed you. But, you know, 23, that's a year you out-hit everybody. Yep. You still didn't have enough pitching for that Philly series. So I would like to see you stack the deck and go get somebody, as you said, expiring contract. Oh, yeah. You're going to eat half of it.
And look,
or whatever it's prorated for the remainder of the season.
They may do both when it's all said and done, because guess what? Over the 17 days, if they get a sense, Mike, that these guys are not going to be back to the level in which they think they can, then you still have to address it. But they're willing to find out. And the good news is we've got time. Like, we've got some time to figure it out. All right, more on the Braves coming up. We got to hear from Bill Belichick, because he was speaking today at ACC Media Days. Let's talk some college football. SEC Media Days next week. Can't wait. We will hear from Kirby Smart and all of the SEC coaches. I think a lot of people are anticipating what Lane Kiffin's going to say. with LSU and the pressure that comes with that situation. But before we get to Belichick, I want you to hear Brent Key talking about you have to be able to adapt and how kids are different today, Mike, and saying, look, they're not the problem. We're the problem. This was Brent Key addressing the media at ACC Media Days.
You have to be adaptable. Right? You have to be able to change. And like people say, oh, well, you know, kids are different now. Well, so are the adults. We are too. Right? We're the ones that set the example. But you know, the same guys that want to complain about a lot of the things in college football need to look themselves in the mirror. They're the ones jumping jobs every 2 years too. Let's be real. The adults in the room sometimes end up being the bigger problem. And I'm very transparent with my team about that. We talk very real in terms of that. Look, we're co-workers. There's no dictatorship at Georgia Tech. I'm the head coach. I'm the leader, yes. But we have to work together, and they understand that. It's about the players at Georgia Tech. Always has been and always will be as long as I'm the head football coach there.
No, some would say, and I think Brent's a sharp guy. I mean, when you put something like that out there at a media days where there's nothing going on in the world of football, you know it's going to draw attention. So it's a bit of a calculated, coordinated effort to reach out to guys who might be thinking of coming to Georgia Tech. You're talking directly to the players. You're talking directly to recruits or, more importantly, transfer portal guys who are already established.
True. Because it's about you. It's not about me.
Right.
It's about you.
I, with all due respect to Brent's partnership, I mean, it's his way or the freaking highway. He runs his ship how he runs his ship. But I run my unit how I run my unit. He's old school. But I love it. But it's a great message. And somebody, he's talking about Lane. Well, he's talking about whoever you want to talk about. Coaches move around like they move around.
Yeah. No, it's true. And look, whether coaches want to take responsibility or not, because for all these years leading up to NIL and the portal and all this, coaches did whatever they wanted. There was no recourse. There was no consequence. You took a better job or you took another job because you felt like it was a better job. There was nothing. And now the movement with kids, everybody's all in a tizzy. And so he's saying, like, look, as much as you guys want to now change the system, you got to look at yourself in the mirror because that was the system before the system changed. And I think he's on to something. But, Mike, it's going to take, and we've said this, an act of Congress, and I do mean that.
Literally.
To get everybody a level playing field. Until that happens, that this thing is going to be up and down. Every state's going to have laws. And, again, that's why Nick Saban was testifying a few months ago saying, hey, here's the problem. And if anybody knows, I know. So listen to what I have to tell you. And again, I just don't think we're there yet with Congress moving as fast as they should to regulate things from a legal standpoint and having laws across the country.
It was some interesting stuff. We played some audio. You guys can rewind on the Odyssey app at Dukes and Bell because we heard James Franklin going, greatest offseason. We won offseason. We were like, oh, wow, Hokie fans, you won offseason. We also had some audio of Dabo going, you want me to leave? I'll leave. Come on, me to kick around anymore. But then we were waiting to see what Coach Mumbles was going to say. Belichick, after a very underwhelming first year.
So why did they struggle last year? I mean, he is the greatest football coach in the history of football, is he not? Bill?
So it was just so much newness, just so many new players, new coaching staff, which that wasn't that big of a problem. And that's just what it is, but this year we have much more continuity. And even though the players, we have a lot of new players, they were here in January and with us all through the spring and our season training program, which we didn't have last year. So that was really the biggest issue last year was how new everything was and how, as I said, we couldn't have player run practices because we didn't know how to run. We didn't even know the plays.
Again, all right, I mean,
Mike, isn't that college football?
This is like ML. Remember, he was going to run it like an NFL team. That's where he brought a director of personnel, right? Lombardi came. He was going to bring this whole idea that you're going to run it like an NFL team. So the continuity thing is kind of a misnomer because you're just flipping the script every year on that team based on what he said last year.
Most schools are. Kirby's not because he's not bringing in 35 new guys every year. But most schools are. I think that's the nature of this. You could use that excuse moving forward every year. It was the newness. Well, you bring in 30 guys, you're going to have newness. You're going to have guys that don't know what you expect or what they need to do.
Yeah. I mean, like you and I, we discussed it, as I said to you yesterday, I had no expectations for Belichick. I figured this is 2 years tops.
You think this is last run?
It never made any sense. It doesn't make any sense. You know, the closest he came to an NFL job was us, and then Arthur said, nah, I'm not gonna do it. So I don't know what this is. Let's be honest. We talked more about his girlfriend than anything they did on the football field last year.
We did. And that's the shameful part. Belichick also talking about, are they going to make a jump? All right, from year one to year two, are you?
This time a year ago, you know, we didn't have a quarterback who had taken a snap even in spring ball for us. You know, we had so many new players coming in that had never even been in spring ball. At least most of our players now have been in spring ball. We have a few freshmen, five or six freshmen that are coming in. But at least these guys now, granted, you know, Miles, Billy Edwards, Travis, but they are at least in spring ball. So we're way ahead. Last year, we didn't have any player run practices. We couldn't actually line up a team and run it against another team without the coaches being out there because we didn't have anybody that knew enough on either side of the ball to do that. Whereas this year, these guys have done it all spring and all summer. They go out there on their own and have 7-on-7 and do drills and all that because we have enough experience of guys to do that. So culture's a lot different. Work ethic's different. Not taking anything away from the guys that were here, but compared to a year ago, like we know a lot more about what we're doing, how to do it, and our culture's a lot different.
Okay. You buy any of that?
No. I'm sorry. I don't. Right. Look, he is a master at presenting these things in a way, because he's done this forever, right? That it makes you feel like, okay, and if you're a North Carolina fan, and look, you should have a little optimism, but I just don't, Mike. I don't buy that. Are the players better? Only time will tell. All right. And everybody thought he might have a leg up because he was Belichick. Look, the sell is easy for him. I've seen the best. I've coached the best to ever do it.
Right.
And I have more rings than anybody. You want to know what it looks like to get to the NFL? I can help you with that. That's the sell. This sell is not national championship, best in the ACC. Dude, I'm going into the best houses of five stars across the country. And he's not, by the way. That's not what he's doing.
And I just okay. Dovetail on your point. I just looked it up. Brent Key in Georgia Tech shows up about 8 spots higher, according to 24/7 Sports, on the transfer portal
rankings.
North Carolina came in at 52.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Yeah.
No, look, the guy's exactly. His legacy is secure from the NFL. It's just, look, you know, you treat people like crap, and eventually you come back and you have a lot of egg on your face. Some people take some pleasure in it. Okay, maybe I do. Maybe Carl does. You know, he will be remembered for what he did with the Patriots, not what he did in Chapel Hill.
Not talking about this.
By the way,
they are still together, right?
I guess. Okay. Yeah, she wanted like information on how they were using her name, image, likeness, when she came up in emails and stuff. It's a real big mess up there. Anyway, you were asking about what's going on with Indiana. Can Cignetti sustain it?
Yes.
According to all the recruiting experts, they picked up the number one wide receiver for the 27 class.
They've never had a top 100, yep. I believe it is, a top 100 player, or maybe a top 50 player.
He didn't have to go far. He's just traveling down I-65. But a young man named Monshun Sales, number one wide receiver, 6'5", 195, going to play for the Hoosiers.
All right, man. We'll see if Cignetti. Look, I want to see. I want to see if he can sustain it. All right, Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk? Because we've got Steve Coonan coming up at 4:40. What you talking about?
Hey, man, there were all great reviews over the top for the Spielberg movie, Disclosure Day, and you said it was okay.
I thought it was a little long.
A lot of people they didn't love it like they thought they were going to love it.
It was good, but it wasn't like, whoa.
Rave reviews, at least a few I've read already, coming out for another big movie from a director we love. We'll tell you about that. And what happens if it's too smoky to play soccer on Sunday in New York? Bring it here to Atlanta, but there's a hiccup on that. I'll explain.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. Quick update on two things. One, Mike's got an update on what happens with the weather, potentially this weekend with the smoke and all that's going on in the Northeast. With the World Cup, and Bryson DeChambeau has been penalized. A two-shot penalty that takes him from 7-under to 5-under for what took place on hole number 5 today. We talked about it before the break. R&A was reviewing this situation, and we just saw Bryson come out. He did not comment. But, guys, basically they say he trampled some grass. Again, for non-golfers, you're going to be like, what the hey? But it allowed him to get this shot out right. of the rough where he was potentially in danger of not being in play. And so they have reviewed this and they have penalized him, Mike, a 2-shot penalty. So he will go in tomorrow, into tomorrow's Saturday round, 3 shots back of the leader.
Right. So he loses 2 strokes. Basically the kind of stuff you and I would do in the rough. But you can't
exactly.
do it.
Exactly.
You can't do it in the British Open.
I just
they frown on that.
I think it's crap. Real quick before we get to Steve Koonin, an update about the World Cup.
Yeah, they're just betting on the come that the rain that's going to hit New York City and the metro area is going to take away that wildfire smoke. Apparently, Gianni Infantino, the president of FIFA, met with White House officials, including the president, because, again, it's too late in the game to move the state. Again, it's an 82,000-seat stadium. Talk about MetLife for Sunday's World Cup final. There's a horrible smoky condition. You may have seen it on the national news last night. But they're expecting rain to come in, clear it out, clear skies, temperatures around 80. They're predicting for North Jersey and New York City.
For Sunday.
For Sunday.
Okay.
So hopefully that's what's going to happen. Otherwise, you're going to have guys taking hydration and oxygen breaks at FIFA's World Cup final.
Steve Koonin, thank you for your patience. Lots going on today. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing great. Good job there, Weather Mike.
Thank you, Steve. Let's talk to Ginger Z. She'll time it out for us.
Exactly.
Hey, by the way, since you know you are an executive that was getting a front seat or view from where your office is, how great was World Cup for Atlanta?
It was spectacular. You know, last week when you were off for the 11th time this year,
please,
we
please,
gave
that's
huge
how dare
kudos
you? How
to
dare
the
you?
Mayor, the police chief, our dear friends at the Falcons, and Arthur Blank, Rich McKay, Tim Zawaski. I mean, it was amazing. Mm. It was amazing. I love that Atlanta won the World Cup.
We did. I feel the same way as far as all the cities and the host cities. And you're right. That's a guy we left out. Tim Z, man, great job down there with Mercedes-Benz and everything that went on there. Let's talk about the news this week, and that is we now know where we can find Hawks games. Steve, talk about the decision and how big this is for Hawks fans who now will be able to watch games and not have to pay additional.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked for years about the disruption that's happening in media, and we worked hard on this. Andrew Saltzman did a fantastic job leading us, and we decided that the best course for us was to give the fans the opportunity to watch the Hawks for free. We are huge fans of the guys at Gray Television, which is Channel 46. Sorry, old TV guy.
Yes.
Always call it by the channel number.
Right?
But ANF and Peachtree TV, as well as Peachtree Sports Network, will be carrying our games. They will be on every single distributor, including YouTube TV, which does not carry a lot of live sports other than broadcast networks. And our fans should be able to watch the game, and hopefully we build some new fans from being able to see it. I've gotten overwhelmingly positive support on this one.
Now, it's a no-brainer, Steve. I mean, we how many times during the year we talk about, like, the Home Run Derby on Netflix? It was his lowest viewership since 2003, and I understand the money is there for the owners, but sometimes you feel like you're shooting yourself in the foot and not growing your brand for an amazing event like it turned out to be.
Well, it's a very tough argument, reach versus revenue.
Right.
You know, and I'm not going to tell you that we didn't have much bigger revenue opportunities, but at the end of the day, at this point in time, with the team that we're hopefully, you know, bringing to the market, that we should let everybody watch it. And Tony Ressler agreed with us. And there we are. We had a fun time yesterday announcing there, and they turned the station over to us, and everybody from Harry was on to cheerleaders, including myself, and it was a lot of fun.
Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO, talking about the ability you will have to watch the Hawks here coming up in the fall, and it's great. I love it. You know, I said to Mike, it reminds me of, you know, the reason why so many people fell in love with the Braves. The access was there. And this was, you know, even before going back to the cable days, you know, it was the fact that they were on and you could watch them. And I think that's just a big deal. So congratulations on that, Steve. Wanted to shift gears and talk a little bit about Summer League. It is Summer League, as Charles always says. We're talking about Charles Barkley. But been pleasantly surprised with what we've seen. Even though the Hawks don't qualify with the point differential, they do not, you know, move on to the Summer League playoffs. But what's been the response in the building about the guys and the rookies?
Everybody's incredibly pleased with the 3 draft picks, and they played really well. you know, and, you know, look, from the business side, I would love to have won the Summer League Championship, but that's kind of like winning August. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter. But I love the opportunity to win. But when our guys played, we looked really, really good. But Charles is right, which is something that's rarely spoken out loud. Mm-hmm. It's Summer League, you know. But I was really pleased. I thought Kingston really operated the offense, low on turnovers, high on assists. You know, playing at Houston, you better play defense. And he showed a lot of defense with a lot of steals. And Zuby's what we need, a tough, big-bodied guy. And credit to Ansi and credit to Quinn. You know, they saw what they needed to see. They shot it off. And we've got one more game to play. And then, you know, don't forget, we started in Utah first.
Right.
So these guys have been gone since July 1st. What a whirlwind. They were drafted on June 23rd, and I don't think they've been home a day since.
Right.
So I'm sure everybody's going to enjoy coming home and then be back in Atlanta starting early August and getting ready for the season, which is right around the corner.
That would explain the 2 points by halftime last night. They were tuckered out. And again, the starters,
I knew this was coming.
Starters weren't out there.
When I saw the score last night, I went, oh, gee willikers, I get to deal with Mike tomorrow night.
Well, again, it's like I said, it's Summer League. No one's going to remember. It's like James Franklin just said.
Well,
no, it's just funny. You just said it. We've been playing since July 1st, so they were tuckered out. They needed a break. So
yeah,
that would explain.
They were tuckered out. Our guys didn't play.
Exactly. They get a rest. So 2 points, who cares?
When you wanted to spin a wheel and have people come out of the stand?
Yes. Look at the bright side,
Steve. Could have done that last night.
If you bet the under on Kalshi, you're a big winner last night.
Oh, I don't want to hear that.
He doesn't
Come on,
need
tell
to
me the president's
he doesn't need to hear
teleprompter
that.
Guy isn't a cousin of yours, Mike.
Yeah, that, we didn't get time for that one in Guy Talk. That's a hell of a story. The guy who runs Trump's teleprompter basically was betting on Kalshi for words that were going to be used in presidential addresses. And needless to say, he's going to be out of a job soon.
Inside job, by the way.
Basically, yes. Thank you, Steve.
Steve Koonin, let's talk about Adam Silver real quick, because he's been saying a lot of things. Obviously, you know, head of the league. Even talked about the WNBA and everything, but he said that everybody's waiting on LeBron. And does that include the schedule? And he alluded to this.
Right.
Like, hey, the schedule come out once all of this is kind of sorted out. All right, I get it, you know, from a business standpoint. I said to Mike, you know what? He still moves the needle. It's a smart play. I have no issues with it. Why would the league put the schedule out right now when one of the biggest stars is yet to make a decision on where he's going to be?
Well, the schedule usually is the second week in August. We don't even see it, but 2 days before it's released to the public. And it reminds me, and I think we've talked about this before, 1 year, Brooklyn was scheduled for no network TV games. And then all of a sudden, you know, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant showed up on their doorstep, which is really a true story. They didn't recruit them or anything. And all of a sudden, the entire schedule that they'd worked on for 7 months got torn up. That's what this is. Look, whoever lands LeBron will be on television the maximum number of times.
Mm, right.
So when Adam talks about waiting on the schedule, it's all about national television.
Perfect sense, right? Why wouldn't you?
So if he goes, you know, to Golden State, that's a different thing because you're playing at 10 o'clock, 10:30 out west. One trip to the east. If he goes to Philadelphia, that's a different. If he goes back to Cleveland, another story. He goes to Miami and, you know, tries to recreate what they had in Miami with the Heatles. So I think that, you know, I love that the NBA is a year-round sport and that we're having this conversation. Hopefully we're having it when I'm not on the air with you guys, because you want people to be engaged. You want people to be interested. My gut says LeBron comes back east, which I think is great.
Right. And great for you, because we have a problem with fannies in the seats, but certainly it'll be electric atmosphere to get LeBron potentially, you know, extra couple
of
trips.
You had a problem once, and you're going to keep complaining.
What? Okay, I paid big money a few times when guys were on load management. I mean, what are we going to do? Steve, I'm over it. I'm just excited about this season.
I can tell.
But I will say this, as Steve Kuhn, Hawks CEO, joins us here on Dukes and Bell, we found out the over-under is a little bit lower than last year. I know last year we started with perception of Trey and Porzingis, and obviously we exceeded expectations by winning two games in the playoffs, but that's interesting. I found, and maybe that's a byproduct of how much talent and the East getting healthier for this next season.
I happen to recall you made the largest bet of your life last year.
a few years ago, on the Hawks over.
Yeah, yes, he did.
A few years ago.
I got to tell you, I knew we were sitting everybody that Sunday, and I'm like, oh my, I'm going to pay the price of this for many a Friday.
No, that was, it was a much smaller bet.
But elegant, but I don't. What are we? What does Vegas have us? I have no idea.
42.
Yeah, down from 46.5 from last year.
All right. Well, last year they had us at 43. We won 46. So.
Well, it was 40. Actually, it was 46.5 when the season began, Steve. I know because
that even hurts more.
No blank Sherlock. I know it was a smaller Carl. It was less units than
it was
the big bet.
Yes, it was.
Right. So, by the way, we talked with Anse Salé all off season, and the moves have been great. Now it's just a matter of how much. I can't wait. I said to Carl, I'm not trying to be a Weisenheimer, Steve. I'm more excited about seeing some of these young guys and how they get sort of integrated into the backup role coming off the bench, because we've got so many exciting guys we picked up in the draft.
Well, I think that's the plan. You know, when Anse said we're going to get younger, I don't think people really believed him, that we're going to get younger, we're going to continue to develop. It's the only thing you can do in the NBA every day with your players is develop skills. And the last two most improved players both are on the Hawks roster. It's where Quinn and his staff absolutely shine. And I think it's going to be a really interesting season, but I know it's going to be exciting. I know it's going to be exciting. And, you know, again, if you measure the metrics by doing a deep dive on analytics, we won two games against the Knicks. Nobody else won more than one. That absolutely makes us the second best team in the NBA.
Case closed.
Great way to put it. Steve, congratulations on the TV announcement. That's great for Hawks fans. And you're right, we did win. And I'm talking about our wonderful city when it comes to World Cup. We'll see who wins that on Sunday. We appreciate you stopping by as always, man. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Who do we like on Sunday?
Everybody, all the soccer heads say Spain is just a juggernaut, Steve. But I mean,
can't. I got to go with
magic,
Argentina.
The magic of the comeback with Messi and Argentina. Expect Spain to maybe score the first goal on Sunday.
Yeah.
Rumor has that Messi's going to buy a home in Atlanta because he's done so well. He's certainly living in everybody's head here.
He is doing that. Hey, Steve Kuhnin, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Take care, guys. Be well.
There he is, Hawks CEO. Guys, we got a lot of stuff going on. Royal and Ancient has made a ruling. Mike is keeping tabs on if this thing, we're talking about the World Cup, potentially might be moved. If it was, what would they do? We've got the Falcon Report on the way. Braves conversation as they get the second half of the season started, and there's a lot of Braves news to get to. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.